How many of you like to be comfortable? I know if when I get home from church, if I'm not going back out in the evening or something else, you don't need a stopwatch. You just know that I'm making a beeline for the bedroom to change my clothes. And in the summer, it's shorts, and in the wintertime, it's my pajama pants and slippers. Old ratty t-shirt, depending on the temperature, maybe a hoodie. If you have dinner and then I sit in my lazy boy chair, if we got a fire going in the basement and it's about 84 degrees in there. Oh yeah, no time flat, I'm out. Right out cold. We like to be comfortable. We like to be in our comfort zone. And I know I'm going to use some old illustrations, and you might roll your eyes, but they're still good. They still apply. Fire extinguisher training in the Air Force, we had it every year. And when a new model of fire extinguisher came out the next year, we were using the new fire extinguisher for our training. Now, I don't know if trained firemen ever get to the point that they feel like going to a fire is in their comfort zone or not, I don't know. To me, that just seems like two opposing ideas there. But they're trained. They're ready. They're prepared for it. And in the case when we were in Iceland, and that training came to use, was our neighbor's apartment started on fire in the kitchen. They had a grease fire. And she was a single mom, and bless her dear heart, she thought first of her kids. I get that. But she took her kids down three flights of stairs, across the parking lot to another building, up three flights of stairs to her girlfriend's apartment, and dropped her kids there, then came back, and of course the fire had only gotten worse while she was gone, and then she panics and knocks on our door, "Help, my apartment's on fire." But I didn't have to panic because we had been trained and trained and trained and trained. So that although I wouldn't say it was comfortable, I was somewhat in a comfort zone because I could respond because of the training I had and take care of the problem. Kids in school. I get stories from Beth because she subs at the school over here now and then. And how many loved math in school? Okay. How many of you aced and just nailed your multiplication tables every time? And you still know them today. You could go one times one all the way to 12 by 12 without even thinking. Good. Good. So if we had a quiz, you might be in your comfort zone, if you know them. But if you haven't trained, if you haven't practiced, 4 times 3 could be difficult, or 8 times 7, okay? They could be difficult if you haven't practiced, if you don't know where they are. You might find yourself outside of your comfort zone. In December, when we were going through Advent, we talked about what is a successful church? A successful church is a church that tells other people about Jesus. Doesn't matter the size of the offering, the size of the congregation. What matters is how many people were telling about Jesus. And it's not even about salvations, although that should follow. Because Jesus is the only one that can truly change people's hearts and bring them to Him. But we have to do our job in sharing Jesus with them, telling them so that they can hear, so that they can learn, so that they can know. Does telling somebody about Jesus take you outside of your comfort zone? I'm going to keep pushing. There's two issues I'm going to keep pushing this year. One is how many, and don't raise your hands until you listen to the whole question, okay? How many of you in the last 6 months have been invited over to somebody's house for dinner, somebody else in the church for dinner? Not did you invite somebody, but how many of you have been invited to dinner by another family or couple in this church? Go ahead and raise your hand. Praise the Lord, that's better than it was 6 months ago. It's not where it needs to be, though. We need to get better at that, folks. We build one another up. We encourage one another when we get together. You're going to learn something about somebody. You're going to get to know them better. Is eating around the dinner table or sitting around the couch having coffee and dessert or something after the dinner than you are as you run out the door on Sunday morning. It's just a matter of fact. So I'm going to keep pursuing that this year, encouraging you to fellowship with one another, to learn how to pray better for one another, to build relationships, to love one another more. And then I'm also going to push so that we can be a successful church. When was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? Your neighbor, your child, your relative, somebody across the street, somebody at work. Because if we're not sharing Jesus, we're failing. We are a failure if we're not sharing Jesus. Now, it's been kind of fun because I towards the end of last year, I started pushing this and prodding it more. And it's something that in my mind is always there. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. I apologize. It's dry. How comfortable are we in sharing Jesus? Are we outside of our comfort zone? I pray not. But just like fire extinguisher training, excuse me, the more you'll do it, the easier it'll become. And just like with fire extinguishers, when you actually have to put out a fire, you don't want to be flippant about it. You don't want to be nonchalant about it. You don't want to be, oh, I got this. But at the same time, there should rise a level of confidence and comfortableness of sharing Jesus Christ with somebody that needs Jesus Christ. Because if they go to hell and spend eternity in hell because you didn't share Jesus with them, now, everybody you share Jesus with isn't going to come to Christ. Understand that. But once you've shared Jesus with them and they know, then the onus is on them. Don't stop telling them. Don't stop praying for them once you've told them. But then they become responsible for what they do with God and what they do with their relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week, we did our New Year's resolution, and I know the big move for decades now, two or three probably, has been, oh, you don't got to do New Year's resolutions. All you're going to do is fail at it anyhow. The old Dairy Queen sign, helping people ruin their New Year's resolution since 1963. Okay, we have other resolutions too. And we talked last week, and I talk every year about this one, is that I will resolve to fix my eyes on Jesus. And why do I want to resolve to fix my eyes on Jesus? Because we know that in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 12, that it talks about that He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author of our salvation. He is the author of our spiritual lives. And we're going to see through other a different avenue than last week, how we need to do to resolve and focus our eyes on Him. Then we know from Acts 3:15 that he is the author of physical life as well. So he is the author of our spiritual lives. He is the author of our physical lives. So we need to fix our eyes on him. He's got his eyes on you. That can be a good thing or it could be a scary thing. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. I'm going to turn, you can turn with me if you want. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you get that? I can see you, you can see me. We're not eternal. We can't see Christ, can't see God. He is eternal. He was before time was and will be after time is up. He made time for us so that in our finite minds we could comprehend and understand and process time. How can we find our comfort zone? In sharing Christ, in our walk with him, how can we find our comfort zone? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So how do I... By fixing my eyes on Jesus, how can I do that in my comfort zone? How can I be comfortable with that? And maybe the first couple times you do it, you might be awkward. That's okay. That's okay. What you need to understand is that it doesn't matter if you're awkward as long as you speak truth. So that people will have the opportunity and privilege to know Jesus. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, to get in that comfort zone today, we're going to focus on renewing our minds. I prayed, when I was praying for the missionaries, and I close with Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Once you're saved, you don't become perfect. We're still sinners. And so we constantly follow David's example and confess our sins to God. And that renews and refreshes that relationship with him. That's why we start our service with 2 or 3 minutes of silent prayer at the beginning. So each one of us can take the opportunity and confess our sins to God. Any that we might have forgotten to confess yesterday. We've talked about Martin Luther, how he'd spend 2 or 3 hours every morning confessing his sins to God. Oh, that we would be that aware of our sin. The guy was a monk, okay? It wasn't like he was out carousing and ripping up the town. And yet he knew that he was such a sinner that he needed to spend time with God confessing his sins. 2 or 3 minutes at the beginning of our service is not enough. Well, it's not for me anyhow. I know I'm looking at you Some of you looking back at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Maybe it takes you longer. 2 minutes is plenty of time for me. We need to renew our minds. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I will tell you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I'm going to start in 21. I mean, that's the, you know, follow up later, marinate in it, sit in it. But in verse 21, if indeed you have heard and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. How do we get to that? How do we get to that point? We got to spend time with God. We got to spend time in his word. We got to marinate and soak in it, so that we can be renewed, so that we will lay aside the old self, so that we will focus on Christ, not on our own desires, not on the sins that we enjoy, but that we will focus and look to him. Just across the, and this one is even more, turn the page to Ephesians 5. In the passages, verses 1 through 21, In there you will not find the word renew. But if you will study that, you will know that there is an awful lot there that will help you to renew your mind, your soul, your relationship with God, so that you can properly fix your eyes on him and be in the comfort zone. Just I'll point out verse 8. You are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Well, if we don't spend time in God's word, we're not going to know what that light looks like. We're not going to understand and know how we're supposed to walk. What does that mean, walk in the light? What are you talking about? Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Not just to do them, but don't even talk about them. 18 and 19 gives you a little more direction. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. It makes reference to alcohol there, to not be drunk with. It doesn't say don't drink it, but you got to be very careful. Because it says, don't let it control you. Don't be drunk. Don't let it or anything else control you. Be it the desire for riches, be it the desire for whatever. If something keeps you from developing your relationship with God, that's what this verse is talking about. We should let nothing control us except the Holy Spirit. We should be filled with the Spirit. We should be marinating, soaking in the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? We spend time in God's Word. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Again, the reference is Titus 3, 1 through 7. He's telling, Paul's telling Titus how to live and how to preach and teach to those underneath him how that they should live. Verse 4, but when the kindness, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. For the last year or so, I've been involved with a pastor's book club, and every other Thursday we get on Zoom, and and discuss a couple chapters in the book, and the one we're doing right now is the Preacher's Catechism. And it was good. Just the one that we just did this week was talking about, do pastors get bonus points for being pastors? Are we more righteous? Absolutely not. The question, as a catechism, it always has a question and answer in a scripture verse. How can we know that we are really saved? Our true identity is found not in being busy preachers, but in being called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Nope, no bonus points. Pastors struggle with the same things you guys struggle with. Sometimes it's a struggle to draw near to God, especially when we know there's sins in our lives that we don't want to address. I'm sure none of you have ever struggled with that before. First John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, as such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it does not know Him. The same love of the Father that draws you is the love that's going to draw others, that we need to tell about Him. How are we going to get in our comfort zone with telling others? Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I'm just going to read verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Remember that we want to resolve to fix our eyes on Him because He is the author of our and finisher of our faith. So He's the author of our spiritual life and the author of our physical life. Paul says to the Colossians, we've not ceased to pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I resolve to fix my eyes on Jesus. I want to focus on Him. I want to focus on His will for my life, that I might know Him, that I might walk in a manner worthy of Him. As our songs talked about, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who He is. I know we didn't sing that exact song this morning, but that's what a lot of the words were talking about this morning. We need to walk with Him. We need to spend time with Him. Ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute. And I want you in your life today and this week to consider this statement. If talking to others about Jesus Christ takes you out of your comfort zone, maybe you need to talk to Jesus and ask Him if you are in His comfort zone. Is He a proud parent? Is he proud of the work that you, his child, is doing on his behalf? Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody speaks with the grace that a lot of the great preachers have and will. But every one of us has a mouth to use to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they have the word, God's Spirit will make sure that it accomplishes his will and his purpose. But if we don't even give them the word, we pull up short. So if talking to others about Jesus Christ takes you out of your comfort zone, maybe you need to talk to Jesus and ask him if you are in his comfort zone. Is he a proud father? Father, help us to resolve to fix our eyes on you. One of the important things we need to know is that we show you our love for you by our obedience to your word. And as we resolve this year to fix our eyes on you, Father, to draw near to you, to renew our minds, God, give us the strength to do that. Give us the humility that we need to come to you and confess our sins so that we can be right with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing.